Hello and welcome to the Winding Roads Companion podcast. I am your host, Catherine Lewiston, and I am pleased to have with me in the studio three members of the Winding Roads Art Tour Planning Committee. I have Maureen, Denise, and Karen. Maureen, can you introduce yourself?
My name is Maureen Karlstad. I was one of the initial people who got the Winding Roads Tour started.
Amazing.
Ten years ago now.
And what kind of art do you create?
I'm a potter.
Amazing. Great. And Denise?
I'm Denise Benoit, and this is my second year on the planning committee, and it's been fun. Fun enough for me to say, yeah, I'll do it again. And I'm a weaver, and I've been showing on the tour for 3 or 4 years now.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. And Karen?
I'm Karen Innes. I've been part of the planning committee since Maureen reached out to me probably in 2016 or so, 2016 or 17. And I'm also an eager sponsor, and I've done much event planning as professionally, but I'm also an artist and a teacher, et cetera. So to me, this is a really super important event, and it's a kind of event that can be welcoming. So I've been on here a while, and I'm excited that it keeps on going and more people keep joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is maybe going to seem a little bit backwards, but my name is Catherine Lewiston, and I'm the social media manager of the Winding Roads Art Tour as of this year. I don't know that I've actually said that out loud on the podcast, which feels a little silly for kind of maybe the final episode of this season. But I have had such a good time getting to know you three and the rest of the members of the planning committee. You know, this has been my first year. I've just hit an anniversary being here in the Driftless. And so it feels pretty cool to be like kicking off this second year with the Winding Roads Art Tour coming up June 7th and 8th. Nice. Maureen, would you tell us a little bit about the history of the tour and some of the predecessors in the planning?
Well, many years ago, and to be exact, almost now. And I was looking at wanting to have some other venue for my work besides going to art tours. Like, I remember telling Ed I was tired of schlepping all my stuff around. As I get older, I'm less and less interested in that. So I thought, what if I had people come to my place? And I know that there's other tours like this out there. So I read about a tour called the Winding Road Studio Tour, which had been started, and I want to say it was a while ago. And the woman who started that was Becky Lusk, who has a shop called Scandia Designs in Coon Valley, just north of Coon Valley, near Norskadalen. And she had started that with a group of artists who have studios out in the country.
Yeah.
They wanted a place where they wanted to be able to advertise their places to have people come, because there's lots of venues in town, but they really wanted something that really focused on artists in the country. So they had a thing set up that all summer long, the studios would be open on Saturday mornings.
Gotcha.
And they did that for a while, but it got to be a little too much for them to handle, to be open that often for how...
So consistently.
Yeah. So they kind of let it drop. But when I was looking into it, I ended up talking to Susan Johnson, who's also been in the tour from the very start. And she mentioned Becky, because I asked about using the name, because it's such a nice name. I didn't make this up. It was just, there was already a Winding Roads Art Tour, and I thought, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So I talked to Becky, who had been hanging on to the name, but said that we could use it. So that's where we got our name from, and help from Becky and Susan Johnson in finding out more about what they had done. But we wanted to include studios in town and out in the country.
Sure.
So we really wanted to broaden it. And we decided to have it just for a couple of days. And then I took this idea and took it to my co-workers at Viva Gallery and asked who was interested. And there were a number of people interested. So that's where the initial impetus came. We did all of the work that first year.
Yeah.
Diane Dahl helped me. She was a member at that time. A lot, and we kind of got it all organized, and then we pulled Karen in, we pulled a few people here and there, and really by the seat of our pants pulled off a a tour in 2016.
Cool.
And we've been going strong ever since.
Yeah, yeah. COVID accepted, of course, right?
But even COVID, we made our way through. We had 2 years of cancellation during COVID, and that was hard.
Mm-hmm. But to be able to kind of resurrect a tour from that sort of energy doldrum that COVID was, I think is testament as well to how great of a system it is. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that helped bridge that silence in the studios was that we had a well-designed and maintained website. I think Maureen, I know nothing about that, but I did know that the website is a really wonderful window into what's out here, mm-hmm. and keeping that up all year long. We always post, you can see previous year artists, you can see who's sponsoring, you still have the information and the interesting links year round. Mm-hmm. So, having that to span those silent years was something I think that kept the continuity for people and the brand in front of people. We have lovely graphics designed by some of the volunteers in the past. So mm-hmm. It's kind of like everybody brings something to the table with their strengths, but I'd say most of the volunteers have been artists in their own right. So
And usually on the tour, many of them on the tour. One of the things we did during COVID, I think that first summer, so that'd be 2020, we actually had a show of Winding Roads artists. Mm. So we were open with masks, but we thought this, at least people can see what would have been.
Oh, that was at Viva, right?
That was at Viva. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and again, another way to try and keep things alive.
Sure, sure. And can you shout out some of the kind of past volunteers that have been really helpful in keeping this tour running?
Boy, I have my list here, I'll start here. Those first years, there were a lot of people from Viva. There was Diane Dahl and Liz and Jerry Queeby and Raylene Roberts, who's been in from the beginning and has also helped a lot, and people like Deb Conlon and Kathy Ocker, who were there from the very beginning and really helping behind the scenes a lot.
Yeah.
And I know one of my fears of saying this, I know I'm going to forget somebody. So
it's like an Oscar speech.
I'm so sorry that I forgot to mention your name. But then later on, Michelle Warkowski came in and started helping out, because for a number of years they weren't sure they'd be able to do it. We kept saying, why don't you be on the tour?
Yeah.
And they finally got to where they could do that. So then that was the first wave. And there were other people around the area, like Kathy Wheeler, who's not a member of Viva, but who was very instrumental in the beginning and very eager to help out. Mm-hmm. And John Schneider, he was a former principal at the middle school, a painter, and he also invited a potter to come. So there were people who really liked the idea. And we had, at one point, we only have 18 studios this time, but we had 22.
Yeah.
We had almost 40 artists at our peak.
I mean, that is this kind of comes back every time I do a podcast episode, just marveling over the density of creativity here in the Driftless. Mm. It's so beautiful, and it feels like a surprise every time you kind of say it by the numbers. You're like, how is it that in all of these teeny little towns, hardly anything over, 5,000 people, we have all of this amazing creative energy and the impetus and the follow through to have this tour happen, and to organize it every single year. I mean, it's just really, really cool. It's a really nice community. I would love to know, so Denise, you started as an artist showing in the tour.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And are now also assisting with the planning of the tour. So can you take us through that evolution? How'd you get wrangled in?
Well, I think Karen asked me a few years ago, and I didn't really understand all the ins and outs of what it took to create the tour, but I have an appreciation for that now.
Yeah.
And I agreed to as kind of a leap of faith, but I liked the people, and that matters a lot.
Yeah.
And I wanted I had time and I wanted to help make it happen, mm-hmm. you know, over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so so I did that a couple years ago, or just last year, yeah. And what I agreed to do at that time was to team up with Karen specifically on sponsor outreach and yeah. fundraising mm-hmm. development part of things.
Mm-hmm.
And but I also, but then once that's kind of in place,
mm-hmm.
Then we all tag team on all of the other administrative
yeah.
and PR details and other planning details.
Mm-hmm.
We all kind of cover it.
Yeah.
But I guess I bring to the table some administrative skills.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes, you definitely do.
I mean, I like to keep documents, and yep. mm-hmm. And I would like to help Winding Roads Art Tour continue that template building
yeah.
for legacy and succession
mm-hmm.
readiness
yeah.
By having really strong procedural documents.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
we're not starting from scratch every year.
Yep. Yeah. It's so important. And especially with grassroots things like this, it can sometimes be tough to get over that hump of like everybody doing something that works with their personality or that works for them at the moment, but maybe is not quite as legible to other people in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some kind of institutional mm-hmm. memory and an archive.
Yes. Yeah.
So that those things can be repeatable.
Yes.
And that's so important.
Being a sculptor, I always envision the armature, that core piece of structure that can be adjusted and altered and built on in new and creative ways,
yeah.
but you have to have that core understanding of what has to be there in order for it to grow or stand or
yeah.
last or support your creative ideas. Because
yeah.
you can load up all sorts. We could do this. What has to be done
yeah.
so that it's not going to fall apart.
Right.
So that's...
And what are we doing
yeah.
in service to
mm-hmm.
that foundation,
right?
Just making sure that there aren't extraneous things being taken care of. Because Lord knows everybody's got enough on their to-do list, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I love that you are diving into metaphor already, Karen, because that's something that I try to do in my episodes is like, yeah, if you have a creative practice, like, is there an image that comes to mind? Is there, like, some kind of metaphorical process that comes to mind? Because the Winding Roads Art Tour, and people will be, any longtime listeners will probably be sick of me using this example, but the Winding Roads Art Tour speaks not only to the actual geography of our region and the fact that our roads are curvy and you never know quite what's around the corner, but it also metaphorically speaks to the importance of journey, the importance of adventure, the importance of embarking upon something, not necessarily knowing what's going to be around the next bend or how you're going to end, you know, there will be unanticipated events in mm-hmm. the future, right? And getting in the car and starting your engine and heading down the road is like the first step to exploring your creativity, other people's creativity, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. The yeah. lovely thing about the format of this tour is it is self-guided.
Yeah.
And that one can curate their own experience.
Mm.
They say, we're offering a beautiful guidebook that has mm-hmm. all the artist studios and what they, their media and what they work with laid out. There's a wonderful map inside that guidebook.
Mm-hmm.
And the timeline is such that it's 9 to 4 on a Saturday, 9 to 4 on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And people can just say, wow, okay, Saturday, we're going to do this, 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 and this. We're going to go
yeah.
this place or that place.
I want to see all the ceramicists
right.
on
exactly.
Saturday.
So people can
right.
choose what they want to see
mm-hmm.
or see it all. Say, we're going to make them all.
Yeah.
And so it just ebbs and flows with the participants as
mm-hmm.
well as the artists. Never know what's going to show up, but it's always
right.
exciting.
Yeah.
And woven into that, you know, in our guidebook are the people who make you know, the financial part of it happens.
Right.
Some of the sponsors are listed in there. Some of them are food and beverage or lodging or, you know, interesting shops. So it becomes part of that menu that they're selecting from for experiencing this area.
Yeah.
And those are all intersections on that winding road. You know,
yeah.
the winding road is going to hit a driveway to an artist studio.
Mm-hmm.
There's intersections between the businesses,
absolutely,
and the artists and this organization, and we're coming together to do this for the community,
right?
You know,
and somebody coming in to this region newly, right? Somebody who hasn't yet explored the Driftless, or maybe has like hit up Viroqua, but has never been to Gay's Mills or never been to Soldier's Grove, right? This offers such a cool opportunity to, I mean, you just have such a good excuse to just pop into those areas that maybe are roads a little bit less traveled, and see some of these really gorgeous little gems of little towns that we have in this region. Mm-hmm. One thing that I would love to discuss is, and we're not going to talk numbers here, but I think there is sometimes a misconception that when something like this happens, like, yes, it's volunteer-driven, but it has a budget, right? Can we talk a little bit about the efforts that have been made over the last couple of years to maybe diversify the budget for winding roads? Like, talk to me about grant opportunities, or, like, how do we finance this thing? Maureen, can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh, you're talking about grant. I can speak to you about budget because I keep track of the money. but we asked artists to help out,
mm-hmm.
first of all, so there's a fee, and they understand why we do that, because it's important for them to help share the cost, because this is a business venture of theirs.
Right.
And then we have gradually over the years, through a lot of the help of Karen, really expanded our sponsorship.
Yeah.
And that's an opportunity for sponsors to support us and help us and also advertise themselves.
Right.
As places that the people who come to the tour might want to go visit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a really nice working together there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
good partnerships.
Right. And we haven't looked into grants, because grants are so hard to do, and they take a that would be a good position for someone to come in who's interested in listening to this and say, I know a grant
you
that
have
you should,
grant writing
that
opportunities
you should, you should apply for.
And
so
because we're now associated with the Viroqua Area Foundation as a pass-through, that's much more a possibility.
Sure.
That we could apply for grants, and they would be the receivership, and then distribute through the Viroqua Area Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
If an individual, rather than a business sponsor or an organization who's buying advertising, if an individual says, "We love what you're doing. We've been going every year.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep it going. How can we help?" Viroqua Area Foundation has us listed as one of the potential beneficiaries, and that can be linked on our website or their website. And we would always love to see people saying, we're voting for you.
You heard it here, folks.
We want to be part of this. So it's, you know, this is just part of being a volunteer organization, an organization that doesn't have budgeted funding from another source.
Right.
We are always going back and saying, how can we make this a win-win for the community and for those who are participating?
And go ahead.
Oh, we've also received funding from the Viroqua Tourism Commission as well every year.
And thank you very much.
Vernon County Community Development Committee.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to say, in terms of diversifying, so when we think of budget, we budget in ways to relate to other people in the community. It's not all about just dollars coming in.
Right.
So Karen has been instrumental in working with other groups that do similar things to what we do. So we have a nice relationship now with Driftless Curiosities.
Yeah.
So they advertise us, and we advertise them, and we love working together. And you're going to name the rest of them because there's a number of
lots of media partnership
so
that are involved with us that we want to help people know about them,
right,
and they're happy to let their people know about us.
Yeah.
Right. For example, Driftless Area Art Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierce Hill Performing Arts,
mm-hmm,
the Pump House Regional Arts Center. Those are nonprofits, the Driftless Curiosity, too. So those are four key.
Mm-hmm.
There are also nonprofit organizations such as the Valley Stewardship Network,
mm-hmm,
and various other nonprofits we've worked with. Just if they put us on their website, we'll put them on ours.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, live in Viroqua, those kinds of things,
yeah,
that are happening to benefit the community. We feel like we're all nonprofit, or we're not in it for the money, we're in it,
right,
to make things happen.
Yeah.
And so why not give each other that media exposure?
Absolutely.
And that mm-hmm, you know, saves us having to advertise. And we're always reaching the similar kinds of audiences who are looking,
right,
for cultural richness,
yeah,
and community support kinds of things. So,
yeah,
yeah, that's been exciting to see that come together, and kind of not that it's inventing the new wheel or anything, but it's new to us in the last year or so.
Well, and it feels refreshing to consider budget building using relationality as the paradigm there, right? And so I'll just kind of, I realize that I sounded very academic in that moment, but you know, like when you're putting together a budget, you're not just thinking about dollars, right? As you,
right,
said, Maureen, you're thinking about how can the Winding Roads Art Tour benefit the very people that we are also kind of seeking donation or sponsorship from.
Absolutely.
It's,
yeah,
not just, okay, pay this money and we'll advertise for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's deeper than that. And the fact that, you know, the Winding Roads Tour is an independent budgetary organization. It's not under any sort of parent budget, right? It's not like an offshoot of Viva, for instance.
No.
It's its own thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's definitely challenging to balance a budget sheet as this kind of small-time grassroots organization. But the fact that you are looking at your budget and saying, how can we use our budget requests to build relationships in the community and to look, mm-hmm, for that cultural richness, I think is something that is missed when folks try to gain support from the community. It also bears mentioning how generous our local businesses are.
Absolutely.
I am volunteering in three different organizations that like seasonally do things kind of throughout the year. And we have, like, there are a lot of nonprofits that draw from a pretty small pool,
mm-hmm,
of locally run businesses. And those businesses do so much financially or with in-kind donations to help this cultural richness kind of continue and sustain. And so I think that's definitely worth a shout out.
Well, it really is. In this community, this is the kind of thing that builds our economy.
Yeah.
Not only, we're a destination because of climate, because of recreational opportunities, from the arts.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people come year in and year out.
I've
had people tell me, oh, I come up here, I plan on this weekend. I have relatives who come from Nashville,
wow,
California. And so it's the kind of thing that attracts people to the Viroqua area, or this,
mm-hmm,
whole region, is the arts, the culture, the outdoor experience.
Yeah.
And so it's economy building for a small community to not only showcase what we do and how rich we are culturally,
yeah,
but also to offer services. People come here and they aren't just picnicking in their car, but if they are,
right,
they now know they can go to the co-op. They now know that they can go and find something at a local restaurant or,
mm-hmm,
stay in a certain motel or hotel. This is an economic driver.
Yeah. Well, and not just for our region locally, but also when you think about e-commerce and the fact that most of the artists on the tour have some sort of online or social media kind of component, a person coming locally to this tour knowing that artist, even if that person leaves and goes back to Nashville, right? Mm-hmm. They can maybe order something off of somebody's shop page, mm-hmm. or make sure to note when somebody is showing in a different city or town, right? Mm-hmm. It's that kind of artistic exposure as well.
Some of the things that are also happening, see, we've realized that same weekend, the same time of year, there's live music going on.
Oh, yeah.
There are other events happening.
You can make a whole vacation out of this thing.
Right.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, yeah. So I would just like to kind of, we've heard from Denise as far as like what your strengths are that you bring to the table as far as the planning committee and what you signed on to really contribute. Marina, I would love to hear that from you, and then Karen as well. What did you kind of, I mean, and this perhaps has evolved over time.
It has evolved. From the beginning, between Diane, Don, and myself, I think we pretty much carried.
You've done everything?
A lot.
Yeah.
Because it was a small event, and we were just trying to figure out what we were doing, and sometimes it's hard to even explain how someone can help when you don't know.
Right.
What you're supposed to be doing.
Right.
So we called people we knew, and they called people they knew, and we got that all together and thought of all the different things we needed to pull together. And Diane has such a background in graphic arts that she did the webpage and all the graphic arts for us.
Amazing.
And I like numbers, so I can do... I'm not going to say I like accounting, maybe, but I like numbers, and so I'm happy to do that part of it. Mm-hmm. And I can balance a checkbook and... all of that good stuff. So we just, we did everything. Whatever that everything list is, I think it's even bigger now. So it's interesting because then at one point I decided I needed a break from doing all of it. I think it was after COVID I took a break. Other people stepped in. Amy Arnold, who had been on the tour for a number of years, said that she would help take over. Natalie Hinahar, who was living here, mm-hmm. was a member of Viva, took over and started doing it. They both... did a lot of the organizing that year. Zoe Craig also, who is a potter, a fellow potter. And then even a woman, Morgan Mosier, joined us. They were all artists also involved in it, but Morgan said, I love what's going on here. How can I help?
Mm.
So they took over and did a lot of the work then.
Yeah.
And then, it ebbs and flows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now they're stepping back, and who knows when they'll come back in and help again.
Yeah.
But, I think a little bit of everything. And so sometimes probably the most important thing is knowing when just let someone else take care of it.
That's the challenge for capable people is
right,
to say,
right.
other people can do this too.
Right,
and
right.
it's okay not to do it my way.
Mm-hmm.
There's something I can learn. So that's always neat.
Yeah, yeah. What about you, Karen?
Well, every organization I've ever been part of, people have said, I don't want to go ask for money. Mm. I don't want to ask for money. And I have always felt that we're offering opportunities for participation in things that make our community better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about going out and telling people what we are doing that they can be part of to showcase their business or a sponsorship, position. And I've always believed put your money where your mouth is. So I write a check every year because I believe in it. And I feel like, if I can put this into things that I value, I can really share that with others who I'm inviting to participate.
Right.
I'm not there, we need. It's we have this.
Mm-hmm.
Come join us.
Come be a part
of it. That's kind of my feeling of excitement about that. My biggest worry is leaving somebody out that might have wanted to hear. And that happens all the time when it comes to fundraising or to offering sponsorship opportunities, is that there are a lot of people out there who might have said, well, I wish you'd asked me.
Yeah.
And so if anybody hears this who wants to be asked, all they have to do is call or go to our website, and there's a sponsor drop down.
Mm-hmm.
So if you missed this year, which, the deadline's out, we would love to have people say, keep me on the list for next year. We're building that resource. We don't want to leave people out who would love to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not every year is good for everybody. So it's a matter of understanding the ebb and flow of people's ability to participate. If you can't participate monetarily, is there something you'd like to offer, give? You know, we've had in-kind donations of different things. And my excitement is about giving people ways of participating.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You're very much a networker.
And perhaps they could be on the planning committee next
year.
We'll train you.
I also want to give a shout out to artists who feel that they want to participate and didn't know how. Because sometimes we hear that, oh, I want to be a part of it. How do I do that? So I don't want to, because they're the reason we're here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that all the artists and we can, and people love to come to studios.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was going to mention before, though, was the talk of winding roads. People come year after year to my studio, and they say, oh, what have you been doing this year? And want to know. And my husband used to do woodworking down in his shop, and what's down in there this year? And we would talk about how things are going. Oh, I see you added a new building, or you did this or that.
That's so
building those
beautiful
relationships with people who come back year after year is really a wonderful part of the tour.
Mm-hmm. We did want to make sure we mentioned the other two people who are on our committee.
Yes, absolutely.
On our organizing committee, who are amazing. I mean, what an amazing group to work with.
Yeah.
Kathy Wheeler, who is artist extraordinaire as well as all of these others, is artist liaison. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right? Maureen, you and she both work with that. Mm-hmm. And Gabriella Marvan.
Yes.
Gabby is our graphic artist and
web designer.
Yes. And she's doing this for a lot of different organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, she's an artist on the tour last year. Yes. Her husband's going to be on the tour this year. Just amazing kinds of contributions. Really talented, very committed to the whole concept of things. So things, you know, so many wonderful irons in the fire, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I mean, with that, I would love to hear kind of any last words or messages. Obviously, Winding Roads Art Tour is happening June 7th and 8th. It is the second weekend in June every year. And like Karen said earlier, it is Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 4. Information's on the website. You can get guidebooks at Viva Gallery.
And many of the sponsor locations will have guidebooks. Each tour site will have guidebooks.
But if you're rolling into Viroqua as like your first pit stop, recommend stopping at Viva Gallery for the information.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that we want to share?
I did want to share that the hours are 9 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be later, and we decided we'd rather start early and early, so we're really working with that. And they also, I wanted to say something that now I forgot.
Well, I can fill in here that one of the things we really are hoping will happen this year is surveys for attendees are important to us in order to, you know, continue to be getting support from different sources.
Yeah.
And we are creating an opportunity for every attendee to fill that out either online on our website.
Yeah.
Or if you don't do that website thing, there's some hard copies available at each tour stop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a picture and email it to us or text it to us, I think there are ways of getting it to anybody who submits an attendee survey will be entered into it. A prize drawing. There's going to be a lovely gift basket and gift certificates from two of our local area wonderful restaurants.
Fabulous.
Amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this again speaks to the whole relationality of it. We're not just like this survey feedback is useful, not just in the like planning of the event, but also in the possibility of gathering data for future grant writing opportunities or other funding sources,
right?
This is huge. It's not just, we want to hear what you think because we want to make the tour better. We also want to hear what you think so that we have the possibility of you know, enhancing the sustainability of it.
Yes, some of our sources would like to know how many people sought lodging in the area when they were here, and like what the whole experience was for visiting Viroqua.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. Any last words, Denise?
No. Thank you for asking such good questions and for helping us tell the story about Winding Roads Art Tour.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Well, it would be lovely to have lots of feedback from people and see more of you this year than ever.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we'll catch you on the winding roads.
Great.